This is Mythical.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
If you tried the nature cereal TikTok trend and stared at all those little fruits floating in the coconut water and thought to yourself, what have I become? It's okay. You're safe here. Today we discuss, is TikTok ruining food? This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiety.
And Nicole, today we are taking on the changing media landscape. The old guard is out, the new guard is in. You got all the teens on TikTok shaking their stuff to Doja Cat and Jason Derulo making donut lasagna. What do you make of it all? What do you make of it all, Nicole?
What do I make of TikTok? And do I think TikTok is ruining food?
Yeah.
I don't think TikTok is ruining food. I think TikTok is changing food. Now,
yeah, but like changing it for the worse.
In some aspects, yeah. Some content is honestly hot garbage. But some content I absolutely adore. Like, let me give you three examples of TikTok food that kind of like really made me look at like TikTok as a food medium. And I'm like, This is like legit. Number one, love the tortilla hack.
No, tortilla hack is my mortal enemy.
No. I love the tortilla hack.
Wait, tell the folks what the tortilla hack is and how freaking inventive
hack.
It was.
So I don't know who started the tortilla hack, unfortunately. But basically, the long story short of the tortilla hack was you take a tortilla and you slice it down. Now, not the full diameter. It's not a diameter. It's the radius.
I hate this so much.
It's the diameter of the radius.
Yeah, no, you slice a radial cut.
You slice a radial cut. And then you have the ability to fill four quadrants of your tortilla with whatever the heck you want. So we have
why do you want
amazing.
That?
Why not?
Why do you
it's
want that?
So
they invented
cute.
A quesadilla.
So compact. Yes.
They invented a quesadilla.
Yes. Yes, they did.
It already existed. There's nothing wrong with the quesadilla.
No.
And then the tortilla hack. It's not a hack.
Let me tell you. Well, I feel like a hack because I wish I came up with it. But no, it's not. It's cool. It's inventive. It's different. I thought it was really interesting.
Let the record show that we also had our own jack-in-the-box tortilla hack secret menu item at one single jack-in-the-box location in, I believe, University Park, San Diego.
That's what I'm saying. We, as a brand, Mythical Kitchen, has benefited from the tortilla hack. So how can you stand there on your figurative high horse and act like the TikTok hack, the first one I mentioned, did not completely change some sort of landscape for you as a creator? Shame on you, Joshy. Shame.
Nicole, are you familiar with the story of Alfred Nobel?
You mean the Nobel Prize dude?
The Nobel Prize dude, he was a chemist, Nicole, and he invented a little chemical today that we now know as dynamite. You know why he invented that, Nicole? He wanted to move rocks. He was like,
okay.
I am going to change labor forever. No longer will people get hurt moving rocks manually. I have created a miracle chemical that can move rocks with a series of combustive reactions.
Okay,
and then
God
you know
bless.
What people, and then you know what people did with dynamite, Nicole? They used it to blow each other up.
Okay,
it became a weapon of war.
So what?
And he,
so what?
And he,
what do you mean he created?
What do you mean so what? Blowing people up is like the worst.
So you're telling me because someone invented something that is used for good but can also be used for bad should have never existed in the first place?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there's a certain amount of guilt.
The human condition
in the way,
is such.
The way that it was used was so antithetical to his purpose for inventing it that he had such guilt, Nicole, that he created the Nobel Prize series and the Nobel Peace Prize. That's how I feel about the tortilla.
Hey, man,
we have benefited.
Humans suck.
We have, and they suck. They suck on TikTok. I consider the mass murder of people with explosives akin to the way that TikTok makes me mad.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that statement, but that's okay. That is one literal TikTok quote unquote creation that we personally have benefited from. Number two, what was her name? Emily Mariko?
With Emily Mariko.
Salmon bowl? I'm obsessed with that salmon bowl. Nothing interesting, crazy, life-changing, or like wild happened in that video. Not yeah. one thing.
Break down the Emily Mariko salmon bowl, because that was one of the biggest viral TikTok moments.
Do you
want to
know?
World.
Okay. Number one, the noises, the snapping open of the container, the mashing of the parchment paper on the rice. The noises she was making are very aesthetically pleasing. And I'm gonna get into that a little bit later about how TikTok and the sounds that food make and how that is aesthetically pleasing and ASMR or whatever. But whatever.
I consider myself an enemy to the ASMR community.
I love
Come
it.
Find
are
me.
You kidding me?
I don't like I am- your little sounds. I think the tingles that you describe are creepy. They make me feel strange. I don't like it.
That's good. Feel strange. Feeling
no,
strange.
My
is
ASMR.
The first
my ASMR, Nicole, is 30 minutes of Rachel Ray narrating her chopping bell peppers.
I love that Emily Mariko video. It's beautiful. She cuts up the salmon. She cooks the rice with an ice cube in it. The ice cube doesn't melt. Whoa. It's just such a beautifully done video. It's clear. It's concise. It's new. It's different. It's familiar. It's art. It's accessible. It's fun. It's a good video. And she kills it. And I'm proud of her. I don't think she'll ever recreate the same magic again. Impossible. She's going to keep trying. It's not going to happen.
No, but TikTok is lightning in a bottle. And it was such almost a mundane video, right? Like you said,
totally.
There was no narration. It was just sounds. She takes white rice, microwaves it with an ice cube on top, I guess, to mm-hmm. keep it moist. She yeah. mashes pre-cooked salmon into it with sriracha and QP mayo. We'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. she uses the seaweed snacks to eat it as if they were like little itty bitty hand rolls with chopsticks.
I literally did that today with Pokey. I got
yeah,
a Pokey bowl from Bristol Farms.
I do a lot of things that don't become media phenomenons, right? Like,
and are you bitter because of it or
yes,
what?
Yes. That's the whole point. I am bitter because we're not TikTok stars.
It's fine, Josh. We're stars in other ways. Don't worry. You're a superstar. Okay. Number
so
three.
We gotta. Oh, you're still going. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
keep
yes,
going, Nicole.
I have an honorable mention, but I'm gonna get baked feta pasta. Baked feta pasta. What a wild, crazy time that was. So much so that they had feta shortages in Sweden, I believe. Sweden?
They sure did. They had feta shortages in American grocery stores because you take the brick of feta, you bake that with cherry tomatoes and some thyme and some black pepper, some aromatics, and then you just mash it all up and the juice in the tomatoes creates like a sauce with the feta. You throw some pasta in there and then that was the whole viral hack. That was it.
Yeah,
that was
and
that's
it
what
was
they did.
It was a like you said,
it
lightning
was
in a
fine.
Bottle, flash in a pan. It's cool. It's different. People are looking to be excited, and why not use food as a medium to excite people, Josh?
No, I agree.
Why?
I agree. Ultimately, it was fun. You know, the thing about the feta pasta too is like it tasted good. Emily Mariko salmon bowl. That is a tasty, delicious bowl of food. That's pretty similar to a lot of things that I eat on the daily. The crazy thing to me though, it's not the way that people consume the content. It's not the way that people make the content. It's how the content is going to affect the world, like hereafter in perpetuity, right? Similar to Alfred Nobel creating dynamite. People used to blow each other up. Crazy thing. We're seeing feta shortages, Nicole, in stores. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. QP mayo, there were shortages everywhere.
Let me tell you, the same thing happens anytime someone does a like features a TikTok that's what are those things called where you spray it on? You wouldn't know. You know when you put on makeup? Oh, setting spray. I have seen
what the hell
so
is setting
many,
spray?
It's when you put on makeup and you set it with a spray, Josh.
It's like a primer.
Up,
it's like a it's like a layer of primer painted on a car.
Primer. Primer's another thing, but it's like it sets so it's a sealant.
Primer.
It's a sealant, okay? I have seen so many setting sprays that I want on the internet, but I can't buy because it's viral on TikTok. Am I mad about it? Yeah. But do I understand the power of TikTok and I kind of respect it at the same time? Yeah.
It's the power that absolutely frightens me, though. So a while ago, we can trace this. Nicole is on the internet. It was March 2020. We did Is Instagram Ruining Food? No, it's probably April 2020.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sometime
we did Instagram
that.
Ruining
yeah,
food, right? And, you know, we talked about the power that Instagram has, all the kind of crazy trends on, you know, what At that time, it was primarily an image-based platform. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it's a video-based platform to try and keep up with TikTok. But back then, we're like, man, these images of rainbow bagels are kind of annoying, and it's giving people a skewed perception of what it actually takes to create food, etc. TikTok is like that, but it's times 10,000. And that's what scares me. So they're coming out, and the way that this actually affects people in the real world, ghost kitchens. Right? They're now starting to create TikTok ghost kitchens, Nicole, where you can
order. Are they really? Where can I get that?
Yeah, dude. They're launching like a lot of them. There's some articles out there. They are partnering with one of the biggest ghost kitchen companies to literally be able to log on to a delivery app and then order your favorite like TikTok trends. And, you know, if we know anything, this isn't like a real argument. I'm not out there like advocating for, I don't know, proper labor compensation, but this is just one element of it. I mean, I am, but you know what I mean? I'm not exactly like, I'm not like a union foreman of the Ghost Kitchen Workers United. but what I'm saying is like, we've seen so many garbage ghost kitchens out there, right? Think about the Mr. Beast Burger.
Do you mean like collabs? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. So like media-based personalities collabing with, you know, restaurants and kitchens out there, mostly restaurants during the pandemic who really struggled to make ends meet. Like, you know, Mr. Beast, I got nothing against the dude. He makes incredible YouTube videos.
Sure
the burger was like, it was bad, right? Like it was a bad burger.
I didn't try it. Did you try it?
Yeah, I got it last time it came around. It was not good. It was a normal burger that, I mean, sold like millions upon millions of them across America. And, you know, he put out a tweet that was like, hey, I'm supporting, you know, small businesses, which I suppose is true, because what they do, a ghost kitchen, right? A lot of them are a restaurant that is probably struggling that then takes a contract to cook a normal burger with some bacon on it, call it the Mr. Beast Burger, give it to a delivery driver, use the app and send it out. But they're going to be making like pennies on the dollar from that because Mr. Beast is taking that cut with the licensing deal, the ghost kitchen, all the apps, they take their cuts. And so it's like these restaurants are making money, but they're making money at a fraction of what their labor actually costs, right? It's like
okay,
all these
but
restaurants
are they still
during
making
pandemic.
Money though? But are they still making some sort of money when they would you rather make $3 or $0?
No, that's a good point. However, would you rather make $3 or make $5 that could potentially be there if these competitors didn't exist, right?
But you know they do saying? Exist, like, so you have to keep up with the times. If you don't keep up with the times, you're going to be left by the wayside.
But then it's just a race. Then we're just in a race to the bottom, Nicole. There's going to be every Japanese restaurant you know is just going to be selling Emily Mariko bowls, and then $2 from each bowl goes directly into Emily Mariko's pockets instead of the hardworking chefs and restaurateurs. Nicole, is that the future you want to see? Is that the future you want to bring kids into?
No. Well, I don't really have a choice. They're going to come into whatever world is out there, but
I feel that I'm too, man. You and me both.
But at the end of the day, I mean, they're doing TikTokers are capitalizing on a short amount of time to make a big impact. And that's what they're there to do. And if they have the ability to go into ghost kitchens and make a Mr. Beast burger and make more money and people are going to buy it, so it is what it is. It's kind of awesome. I don't think it's ruining food, though. Like, the word ruining, like, there is some content I see out there, and I'm like, this is horrific. Like, I'm like, why am I watching this?
Name it. What's the worst TikTok content that you've seen when it comes to food?
Like, just like there's this, I don't know his name. There's one guy who, like, drenches himself in sauce and stuff, and it's just like,
yes.
I don't need this in my life, honey.
I don't know if I can imitate his accent, but I think it's a fake accent as it is. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The videos are all like how normal people eat French fries, and it'll be a little bit of ketchup and he dips it in and it goes how I eat French fries, and then he literally takes a 10-gallon bucket of ketchup and violently pours it on his counter and then goes perfect.
Yeah.
Except he does it in what I believe is a fake accent.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Do you know how many followers he has, Nicole?
How many millions?
23 million followers.
There you go.
Wild.
Well, that's the food content that I believe is ruining food. That is the kind of food content that ruins food. Do I think someone making a crispy salmon avocado rice paper dumpling is ruining food? Of course not.
That
stuff is awesome. Yeah, that kind of stuff I appreciate. Making ramen creamy, awesome. Teach me how to do that.
Yeah, the creamy ramen trend, that was... If there's one thing that I can respect most about TikTok trends, it is the creamy ramen trend of people adding mayonnaise to hot ramen.
And
because
egg.
That
Yeah.
Mayonnaise and eggs. Because I'm in favor of adding mayonnaise to more hot dishes.
Yeah. Oh, here's a great example. Remember Dalgona coffee? Do you remember it?
Yeah. Do you remember the great Dalgona shortage wars of 2021? Nicole, there were at least nine different proxies. Hold on.
What are the you CIA, talking about?
No, I'm kidding. I do remember Dalgona coffee, yeah.
Like, do you see it on any menu at any coffee shop anywhere?
I feel like I did at some point, but no, everybody forgot.
Everybody forgot. And that's the ephemeral, what's it called? Like notion? What's
nature?
Thank you. It's the ephemeral nature of TikTok. Like, things are just going to be cool for a sec, and then you got to move on to the next thing. That's just how it is. I don't see the longevity of food on TikTok. Like, that doesn't come to mind. Like, someone standing there and making a bunch of content that's going to be, like, consistent for them, and, like, people are going to be shocked by everything they make. Like, that's not going to happen anymore. Like, people don't do that. Like, it's just, you made one good video. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that said, there are certain people out there who they chase trends really, really well, right?
Sure.
Every time a trend comes out, yeah. Whether it's frozen honey or Dalgona coffee or Dalgona candy from Squid Game.
Sure. They're
on it.
That was crazy.
That was crazy, dude. It's honeycomb. It's delicious.
It's incredible. The videos of people making Dalgona coffee, Dalgona candy literally consumed my feed.
Yeah.
Every other video I would see was someone making it and the song. And I'm just like, it's amazing. It was incredible. I don't see those videos anymore. Do you?
No.
I sure don't.
But I guess is that part of the problem, though? Like, that people's attention spans are... I don't want to sound like an old scorn here.
You sound like an old fart. I love you.
I am an old fart. And
you are
the craziest thing is, Nicole, is that, like, a bulk of our income and attention and audience is all from YouTube.
Yes.
Which YouTube was seen as, like, the death knell of traditional media a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm, and now we're the old fogies on YouTube.
You're
saying
an old
that TikTok's
I'm
ruined things.
I'm with the times, baby.
Nicole, we're both hurtling towards 30, at which point, as a YouTuber, they just send you to an island where you retire with all the other YouTubers and you just talk about the algorithm. You go, the algorithm will come beam us up to algorithm heaven.
Oh,
and then we will
God.
All live a life free of content.
God forbid. God forbid. That island would be a depressing island. Lots of bling on that island. Lots of bling.
Oh, so much tea. So much tea.
Ugh, the tea is hot.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Okay, but like who are, let's say, like the best creators on TikTok? The people creating really good food content that you think actually helps people?
I have some. I love Eitan. Eitan Bernath.
Eitan Bernath.
He is amazing. I just love
he's
to
so
see
stylish.
His growth and progress. He's cool. He's young. He's fun. I wish he still wore his yarmulke, but it's okay. I get it. He's just a cutie. And like he knows how to hop on trends. And now he's like on Drew Barrymore's talk show and stuff. Like he was actually on Chopped, which was crazy.
He was on Chopped. I think when he was 12 years old, he was on Chopped.
He started on Chopped. Loved food, made his own production company, I guess. Did his own like little TikTok, did his own YouTube videos. Now he works with Drew Barrymore on traditional media. Like he's so young and he's doing amazing things. Like I'm proud of him. Like I just look at him and I'm like, I love your content. I love you as a person. I want to see you grow. I want to see you progress. Who else do I love?
That's a really cool thing about TikTok is that you see it's a very low barrier of entry. Of a platform to get in, right? Like even YouTube now, right? You can certainly still create your own YouTube videos, but you have companies like Mythical where it's like, hey, this has become our whole business. Like we shoot with a, you know, two or three camera setup when we make our food videos. The videos that we're making on YouTube, mm-hmm. it's a Food Network show.
A lot of them are
Food Network length too. We're making 35-minute videos
of
making a medieval Christmas feast.
Don't get me wrong, the caliber of our videos are incredible and they really are done exactly like a classic TV production. TikTok isn't like that anymore.
No.
But people don't necessarily need that to be satiated by food content because the next one is simply a swipe away. Who else do I love? I love Doobie-Doobop.
Yeah.
She makes Korean food, I believe, and she always says, don't yuck my yum, and she's pretty. And I love, again, I'm going to talk about the noises. The ASMR and the food community have finally come together without the addition of a mukbang. It's beautiful. The noises, the rips, the tears, the cuts, the scrapes.
Wait, that's the reason you're into this, is because you love ASMR and you love food, but you don't particularly love mukbang.
And I love pretty people.
And you love pretty people. And there's a lot of pretty people on TikTok.
So many pretty people. I have one quip, though, about food TikTokers. Stop scraping your knife to prove a food is crunchy.
No, that's the best part. Oh,
there
you sear off
nothing.
The duck breast and you scrape the knife against it and you hear that.
Yeah, I get that. If the food is like actually crunchy, people are like, I don't need you to run your knife over it to prove it's crunchy. Like, how about you cut into it so I know it's crunchy? Like, that's one of my biggest food pet peeves when it comes to TikToks. I don't need you to scrape your damn knife on the damn crispy food. Don't do that anymore.
Well, there's a couple things like that have become signature to the style of making a TikTok video,
yeah,
right?
Throwing,
and you'll see
throwing your knife on the cutting board.
Throwing the knife on the cutting board. Oh, I did that in a recent one that's coming out at some point. I just watched a cut of that.
That was cool.
People picking up a large piece of meat and just squeezing all the juices out in front of the camera to prove that it's juicy.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
We talked about this a while ago. Like it's creating images of food. You're not actually creating food that people eat.
Exactly.
There's a dude there, Early Pete. We're friends with the homie Early Pete. You know Early Pete?
I think so.
He does a series called Stunt Food or Good Food, where he just reviews TikTok videos and says if they're stunt food, something that is made solely for the camera to get a reaction out of, or something that is actually edible and good, which, like, you know, I think it's a hilarious series and I absolutely love Pete, but, you know, I've grown up in food media like my entire career. This is all I know. A lot of things have to be stunt food. You know, you're out there, you're trying to grab people's attention. You got to make some things that are kind of outlandish and crazy. We make a lot of things that I happen to think are really dope and really good.
Yeah.
Like the Pop-Tart or the Pop-Tart ravioli, for instance. To me, that one tasted really good. We were all slamming that after we finished shooting that. Two, really fun and inventive. But of course, it's a stunt. It's a spectacle. You're on there to grab people's attention. And that's what a lot of people are doing.
Sure. No, I totally agree. I mean, we make stunt food.
Oh, of course. Oh, it's fun as hell. I love it. I was making stunt food before the cameras were on.
Yeah, that's true.
I once made a 10-pound quiche filled with 100 McDonald's chicken nuggets for a friend's birthday.
Très bien.
C'est vrai. speaking of pretty TikTok creators that I really enjoy and make really good food, can I shout some people out?
Of course, please. I'd love for you to do that.
Pierce Abernathy.
I love Pierce Abernathy.
I think he modeled for one of the big Italian fashion houses, I think.
Oh, really?
Recently.
He's like,
yeah,
sexy.
Dude, check it out. It was the thing. He makes food that I really, really respect. It is absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. He films it in a very aesthetic way. The ASMR is there. He's very quippy about it. And it's insane on TikTok because you have, now the time limit's a little bit more, but you had like 60 seconds to get your point across, to still inject some personality into it so people care about you a little bit. But he makes primarily vegetable-based dishes, tons of dips and salads and sauces, using vegetables in ways that people wouldn't think. I mean, it changed the way that I cook. Like, this dude will take, like, cooked zucchini and pine nuts and, I don't know, tahini and lemon zest and some herbs and just throw it in a blender and just be like, this is my new favorite dip. Because that's kind of how he talks. I tried to imitate it.
And then he does a little giggle to prove that it's good.
He goes, it's so good. And it is. And I've made a lot of stuff that he's made. Other people like, you know, Newt?
Newt? Oh, do I know Newt? Everybody knows Newt.
Everybody knows Newt. Newt's got like 10
OG.
Million followers. And Newt also is, the LA Times did a story about him. I mean, this is a dude
incredible.
Who was living in a trailer. And then, you know, he would set up his camera and he makes like very simple, honest, good food, right? Like the first couple of videos I saw, you'd make like, you know, balsamic glazed chicken wings, something that's like a little inventive, a little cool, or like blackened salmon with, you know, fettuccine Alfredo. Just it's like good food that it's teaching people how to cook, and he was learning kind of in the process. And now he's, you know, got a fair amount of money. I don't want to speak to Newt's net worth, but he's like a really incredible story of a young person who had a talent, a willingness to learn, and an eye for aesthetic, and TikTok gave him that sort of success that I think is very, very well deserved.
You know, we forgot to mention the queen of it all, Tabitha Brown.
Tabitha Brown. I knew you were going to talk about Tabitha Brown.
She's awesome.
She's incredible. But I mean, Tabitha Brown was a long working actress for years, right?
Yeah, but I don't think she really smashed onto the scene the way she did. The first video I saw of her was a BuzzFeed video where she made tacos out of walnut meat, and I'm like, what is she doing? But then I was amazed at how beautiful the food looked and all the colors and how bright she was along with the food. And then she made some carrot bacon and she exploded on the scene on TikTok, and we're just like,
was that the video that exploded Tabitha Brown, was the carrot bacon?
I have a feeling that was the one. She probably had a few more, but
seeing her vegan sushi recipes. That was, and they all look like a delight.
Nice.
I like vegan sushi. It's good.
I love vegan sushi. There's a place called M Cafe that makes like almond meal vegan sushi. It's really good.
Cafe, like, it stands for macrobiotic?
Yes. Yes.
And it was like a Madonna. It was like Madonna was like really into the macrobiotic diet in the 90s. Uh-huh. And that's why that restaurant exists.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I remember going into some weird hole. There's a couple restaurants in LA that were just like run by cults on their weird cult diets.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Anyways, but yeah, so no, TikTok, I mean, as much as I can cringe at some of the content of people just like wasting 10 gallons of ketchup for clout, and food waste is always going to be a part of food media.
Of course.
I mean, us included, it's the reason that it's also, we just like to do good things, but you know, we donate to the LA Food Bank every month because food waste is kind of a part of it.
Sure.
But if you watch a show like Top Chef and you think that they can just stock an entire pantry with all the ingredients that people want to use and they don't just throw all that fresh produce away, you're fooling yourself, because
you have to section it off and give it to people. That's what I like to do. Every Friday, I like to get little grocery bags and I say, everybody, come get fresh groceries. And then people normally do that. So I hope that's what other people do.
I like, we literally have like a shopping day in the Mythical Kitchen on Fridays where we lay out all our groceries and we send out a picture and people come. Who's the best shopper? Who's the best shopper on the Mythical crew?
Chris Marino.
Chris Marino.
Lovely. Always takes every single, I say take this and he says okay.
Yeah, sound guy Chris has taken home more pounds of fresh meat from the Mythical Kitchen than anybody. This dude will just be like, hey, we got a 6-pound London broil. He's like, I don't know what to do with it, I'll take it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, perfect.
He's a good sport. Morgan takes everything. Love
Morgan's got a baby to feed.
Michaela takes a lot of stuff. She takes a lot of the prepack. David
Michaela's
Hill,
picky though.
Yeah, I know, David, but she's a good kind of picky. David Hill, he comes through like a bulldozer, takes it all. And I said, God bless, take it all. I don't want to see it anymore. And me, I take a lot of stuff home.
I take a lot of stuff home. I've eaten so many heads of cabbage from the Mythical Kitchen. It rules.
Good for you.
So where, Nicole, we are also on TikTok.
We are.
Where do you think
Mythical
we,
Kitchen.
What is the myth? Yeah, follow Mythical Kitchen on TikTok. We do weird
Please.
Stuff. Where do you think we fit into all this? Do you think that we are simply responding to the times? Do you think we're adding anything new to the conversation? Do you think we are the enemy?
Well, considering
let's
the
be self-reflective.
Okay, let's be a little bit self-reflective. I really enjoy our content. I love it. I think it's good. I think it feeds our audience. I think our audience responds well to it. I feel like I'm in a review right now. And I hate that. It's being broadcasted to like a bunch of people's ears. I do enjoy our content. Again, I had to uninstall TikTok from my phone because I am so obsessed
it's
with
true.
It.
It's true.
Literally, I still go on Instagram Reels like all the time, like a crazy person. But like, I'm not on, like, I can't have TikTok physically on my phone. If I did, it would be a problem. Like, you would never see me. But no, I think our content is incredible. I think we, again, satisfy a certain demographic. And I think we just got to keep being true to ourselves. I think the secret to being successful on TikTok is being true to yourself and really being inventive and creating, you know, that lightning in the bottle effect. And being okay with, you know, having one great video and a bunch of other, like, you know, having one kick-ass video and then having a bunch of, like, all right videos is okay. It's just how the algorithm works.
Yeah, I think you tend to have an air of non-judgment when it comes to anything changing, right? Like a lot of times when we talk about like, I'll be like, hey, Nicole, does this changing tide and landscape in the industry bother you, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, bother me or not bother me, it doesn't matter because it's happening. You know,
yeah,
like it's how
it.
You respond to it, which is like honestly an attitude that I really respect.
Thanks.
And wish I kind of had more of. But I'm like kind of trying to get there. I think a lot of it is just me dealing with thoughts of my own mortality. If we're being dead honest about this.
Do you mean like actual mortality or online mortality?
Oh, God. Are they different, Nicole? Once one suffers ego death, is the death of an image equivalent? Ceci n'est pas une personne, right?
isn't that
no,
Rene,
but I mean,
Rene Magritte?
Rene Magritte, yeah. Magritte. Yeah, great French surrealist painter.
Yeah.
No, but I'm talking about one day are we going to wake up and there's 3 years from now, there's going to be a new app, right?
Sure.
And we're going to be recording the same damn podcast going like, is Flubble Flobble ruining food? And it's like, yeah, the fact that you can lick your TV screen and then you get or your Google Glasses eye screen and then it tastes a little bit like the food. It's, you know, so I mean, tides are always going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think TikTok does have a sort of unique problem to it that's also an opportunity, which is the algorithm is so good that mm-hmm. it just feeds you the things that you crave. If you leave a corgi in a room with unlimited food, it will eat itself to death, right? Creatures don't always gravitate towards the things that are good for them. So when you create a media platform mm-hmm. that is specifically designed to let people naturally gravitate towards anything, that might not necessarily be the best thing, right? That's how
yeah.
we saw YouTube lead to extreme conspiracy theory videos. People keep clicking on more extreme videos in the right sidebar. It's the same thing on TikTok. You linger on a really crazy video a little bit too long because it catches your eye, and then they feed you even crazier videos, Nicole. That's how I ended up on plastic surgery recovery TikTok. That makes me wildly uncomfortable.
What a subsect to be on, Josh.
It's the weirdest subsect of TikTok. It makes me very uncomfortable. But that said, it wasn't any outside force that was doing it to me necessarily. It was me.
Sure.
I wouldn't be there unless I was given it that algorithm. People wouldn't be pouring 10-gallon buckets of ketchup on top of French fries unless people wanted to watch people pour 10-gallon mm-hmm. buckets of ketchup on French fries. It's us. Nicole, the world made us sick. How can it heal us? That is the words of lead singer of Every Time I Die, Jeff Buckley. I rest my case.
I, for one, can't wait for Smell-O-Vision.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call Opinions Are Like Casseroles! We didn't talk enough about Jason Derulo's TikTok pivot.
He's my favorite TikToker.
What a good-looking man, my God.
Have you seen his baby?
No, is it a good-looking baby?
It's a beautiful baby. His wife is gorgeous, but their baby's so delicious. I don't know what the baby's name is, but just go, I want to kiss it.
That dude will make, like, the most disgusting. If we ever think what we do is, like, stunt food and decadent, like, Jason Derulo, a lot of it, like, looks pretty good, and I eat it. But he's just like drenching donuts and bags of M&Ms in cake batter, then baking that and then covering that in strawberry syrup and then deep frying it all and then putting it in a funnel cake. Unbelievable. What I wonder, though, like he had no say in any of that, right? There's no way Jason Derulo's sitting there writing down food ideas.
Of course not. It was all his manager and agent. Come on.
But who the hell in their right mind just goes, hey, Jason Derulo, I am your manager. And Jason Derulo goes, oh, great. Do you think we should come out with a new single or maybe do some sexy modeling shoots because I'm Jason Derulo? And they go, no, hear me out. We're going to take a whole bag of M&Ms and then we're going to melt that down. We're going to deep fry it around a sleeve of Oreos. Like, what does that even have to do with Jason Derulo? But it stuck, and it's incredible, and people watch it, and he's so hot. My God.
I'm glad you have a type.
Yeah, he's got, man, he's just got such a bright smile, great body, seems
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy, yeah. He really is. I'm looking at all pictures right. of him right now. Okay, should we go on to the opinions of, like, casseroles part of this whole entire thing?
Yeah, probably.
Is?
You start it. I'm thinking
you
about Jason
start?
Derulo.
Okay. Yeah. Evan is Loco says ramen is a soup dish, not a noodle dish. Well, it depends on who you're asking. Are you asking me?
I yes. We host the podcast that he wrote to. Yes, he's asking you.
I think it's a soup dish. Well, now I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, it's a noodle dish. Ramen's a noodle dish. There is soup in ramen, but also like men in Japanese literally means noodles. So if you
what
were
does
to take,
ra mean? What does ra mean in Japanese?
Pass. The Egyptian sun god. but no, you know what I mean? Like, if you took the noodles out of that dish, it would no longer be ramen. Ramen, the noodles are endemic to the dish. Ergo, I believe that to be a noodle dish that happens to have soup in it. There's other forms, right? Mazamen, you know, tenten men, stuff like that.
Sukemen.
Yeah, sukemen's a... Because I think you would still call those ramen noodles, that is, with sukemen, right?
I think so,
is that accurate? I
think sukemen is a dipping one, so you dip the noodles in the broth.
Yeah, it's like a really concentrated broth. It's almost like a pork bone gravy. Mm. I've never loved it as much as... It was like kind of a very trendy thing in L.A. to have... I much prefer soba. I'm a soba guy.
Okay, can
I love buckwheat.
Can we like have soba together? Because I've been trying to get some soba and it's really hard. Also, you remember the day it was raining recently? I tried to go get udon and little did I know that everyone else in the whole entire universe of Los Angeles wanted to get udon on the same day as me. So I was really mad about it. But I'd love to get some soba with you sometime. Cold soba?
Yeah, I love cold soba. It's Japanese buckwheat noodles. They're typically served on like a mat where they're kind of drying out. And then you get just this like cold, I don't know, like shio dashi broth and you dip them in and oof. There's a spot in South LA that does it with mentaiko, which is the cod roe.
Cold
cod roe soba, baby. Yum, yum. Eat it up.
Yum, yum.
All right, here we go. At Dan Thomas. Bet I can guess where he's from. Marmite and cheese is the best crumpet topping. Dan, I'm not going to BS you here. I have never once thought about the best crumpet topping.
You need to do us a favor, Josh. Explain to the people what a crumpet is, because some people don't know.
Bro, you explain what a crumpet is. How the hell am I supposed to know what a crumpet is?
No, you do it.
Okay, so a crumpet
is an English muffin.
It's basically an English muffin, right?
Yeah.
But English muffins and crumpets are a little bit different. The crumpets that I have had, they're like an English muffin, except there's almost like a perforation on the top. So it's like a kind of like a yeasted, leavened, but cooked on a pan, like an English muffin, but like less crusty than an English muffin and a little bit. I think this is like a Canadian bacon versus pea meal bacon situation where like it probably means one thing to us in the States. Like a scone is like different in the States versus in Britain. But now I don't remember what a scone is. Like a biscuit, like American biscuits don't exist in the UK. They call cookies biscuits.
I'm going to be honest with you.
An American biscuit would be like a scone or something.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never had a crumpet before. Never have I ever had a crumpet, but I have a strong feeling that salted butter is probably the best thing on a crumpet. I'm just going to guess.
Nah, bro, I'm going raspberry preserves and clotted cream on the crumpet.
Josh, I went and had South African scones the other day.
Scones?
I had a scones with homemade lemon curd and whipped cream.
Ooh, was it good?
That was my South African accent.
Homemade lemon curd and whipped cream?
The lemon
you talk like that from London. You're from Durban.
No, it's homemade, made in the kitchen.
From South Africa. From South Africa, bro.
I had tea.
As far as like South African, there's a sausage called boerewors.
Yes, I've heard of it.
That's a good sausage. Typically, I believe a beef sausage with coriander. That's nice.
Coriander.
Bunny chow. You ever had that?
No, but I've heard of it. It's like stew in a brick of toast.
Yeah, you hollow out like a whole bread loaf and you shove a bunch of typically like a chicken curry in it, or at least that's what I've had is chicken curry.
Yeah,
but the only time I had that was at the Machnayuda in Israel, which is pretty rad.
Machnayuda?
But yeah, crumpet, the Yehuda.
What is a Machnayuda?
The Machane Yehuda, the Yehuda market in whatever city in Israel.
I don't know.
You never heard of that? My God, Nicole. Culture 10 yourself.
10 points deducted off of my Jew meter.
Anyways, Dan, Marmite and cheese. I say those are the flavors are too complimentary. I would just go Marmite and butter. Unsalted butter, let the Marmite shine.
Okay.
Also, Vegemite's better than Marmite.
Oh my God, what?
Vegemite's better than Marmite. Vegemite has more of a salty, sharp punch.
I like Marmite more than Vegemite.
Marmite, too deep and yeasty. Too rich for my blood, Nicole.
I like it yeasty.
I like it yeasty. That's why they call Nicole the yeasty boy.
Okay, read the next one.
Oh, shoot. It's mine. It's mine. It's your turn. It's your turn.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Sarah Thiot says, ranch on peanut butter and jelly. Tangy, sweet, and savory. Yum. No! No! That's screwed up, dude. No! Don't do that. Yeah,
like Alfred Nobel straying too far from the light of his original invention, causing immeasurable violence, Sarah. That is what you have done with your ranch PB&J.
You've caused immeasurable violence.
I have, like, you know, we've made, like, ranch cupcakes and stuff. There is something about ranch on
Who's
sweet things.
Who's made ranch cupcakes?
Was that before your time? Did I make those before you were at Mythical?
I think so, because I've never made that before.
Bro, they are bad. They are bad news. Ranch and sugary things do not go well together. It's just that there's a lot of onion powder.
I made a ranch crispy treat.
That was pretty bad.
That was pretty bad. It was pretty freaking gross.
Ranch and sugar, that's honestly a thing that I can't do, which you think I might be able to. I can't.
Ranch and lasagna, though? Sign me up, partner.
Ooh, here we go. At Food Chemistry Lab, what are your opinions on charring peppers, even though it's unhealthy? Yeah, that is actually one of the biggest foodborne, what's the term for something that causes cancer?
Carcinogen.
People talk about sugar causing cancer or red meat causing cancer. Charred food, the data suggests from the World Health Organization, it's like absolutely insane how much charred food really affects like cancer rates and whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's all because the carbon is like burnt and denatured, so it turns into free radicals.
Sure.
That said, I don't know, man. I don't like take a ton of risks like driving fast in the rain. You know, I don't do extreme sports. All the risks that I take, I've saved it up for foods that I enjoy eating, and charred foods is heavily among them.
Mm-hmm.
Life's too short to eat steamed vegetables until you die.
I
feel like there's a lot of other risks in life that we don't even know about. You know, we could get, Nicole, we could get mesothelioma, and we would have to call the law offices of James Sokolov to represent us. That's a shout out to LA local lawyer commercials. So I would never let anything like that affect my life. That said, it is like a real actual health risk factor that I don't think enough people talk about.
Yeah. I've never even thought about this, but it's unfortunate. And I love charred food, but I like to peel the char off so it's not too bad.
Just eat it.
Ugh, no, I don't like to eat burnt food. I don't like the way burnt food tastes. I don't like burn. I like a significant char. I don't know, man. I got to think about this. I got to talk to my mom about this.
Nicole, what like dietary measures do you take to protect your health? Or are there like anything? No, I mean, I didn't mean to ask that as a leading question. I'm just wondering, like my brother stopped eating red meat. Like that was the thing. He's like, you know, I'm getting up there in age. He's 33 now, so old.
Good for him.
And he was like, I'm not going to eat red meat anymore. So we'll like go out to nice restaurants and he even sticks to it there. We're just, you know, order the fish.
I haven't gotten that far in my evolution as a person yet. I like all foods and, I don't know what's going to happen if one day I have a rude awakening. I'm going to be like, oh, well, that last chocolate chip really screwed me over, you know. But I don't know. I haven't done that yet, but I'm sure it'll happen whenever, like, at my next doctor's checkup. They'll be like, you need to stop eating X. And I'll say, okay.
Yeah.
And that'll be the wake-up call that will probably give me my dietary restriction that I need.
Yeah, I try and exhibit some sort of sense of balance in a way that's sustainable for myself, which manifests in a lot of Greek yogurt.
I really hope they don't say stop eating eggs because I like to eat eggs.
Yeah, and I will go to the grave before I only eat egg whites. God, what a depressing food.
No way. Speaking of eggs, this one, Jimmy 7474 says eggs are overrated in baked items. I think they're saying like egg as a flavor instead of like adding eggs to baked items. I don't think they're talking about like the chemistry of like adding an egg to baked item. I think they're talking about like egg flavored things in baked goods, like an egg.
What
tart.
Do you mean?
Like an egg tart or like a salted egg yolk.
No, I think they're talking about actually adding eggs to like a cupcake batter or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wonder if they're vegan.
I don't know. But that being said, I do think that like egg alternatives like flax eggs and like banana and like applesauce. Like I think
yeah,
that is stupid.
Pork blood.
No, yeah, pork blood. Pork blood, big
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you can use pork
That's
blood
a big one
as
used
a substitute.
A lot. Used so much by other people. Yeah.
When I bake, eggs do the lifting, man.
They have to.
That's how I know it. Like they do the lifting. I'm a big egg guy. Love me some flan. Mm-hmm. Love choco flan where you bake the cake underneath. The flan
I was just telling David, I got to make some flan in this house.
Man. Yeah, no, eggs aren't overrated. You're overrated. Sorry, I feel attacked. Ooh, I like this one. At WaldenSends_NH, steak is kind of gross. Yeah, dude. It's okay. So
it's animal flesh.
It's just, but it's like an unadorned animal flesh. You know what I mean? That's the
what
weirdest thing.
What do you mean unadorned? You don't need to adorn everything.
You do.
It's not a necklace. It's not a décolletage.
Julia and I, great use of décolletage. I'm going to play that in Scrabble tonight. Julia and I, we ordered from my favorite South Indian restaurant in LA. Shout out to Mayura and their uthapams are delicious. But I mean, everything in their food is just bursting with flavor. South India, this place reps Kerala, which is from the Spice Coast, like literally where the world's best spices come from. Everything there bursts in your mouth. And Julia took a bite and she was like, can you imagine someone coming here from like India, from the city of Kerala, to the United States and seeing people just eat a steak and potatoes? Like, it seems barbaric. It literally seems primitive. It's like you didn't even have time to develop enough of a food culture to put anything that tastes on it. You know, that's the way that I look at it. Whereas we tend to have the opposite, you know, feeling where in America, a lot of people are like, you don't need to mess with a good steak. You just need salt and maybe some butter or whatever. But for me, I'm just like, nah, dude, that's kind of gross. Give me a nam prick sauce on it, man.
Interesting.
Give me some flavor.
Interesting.
Barbaric.
I'm on both sides of the playing field. I love a beautiful, advanced, exquisite, detailed meat. But I also love a ripping through flesh and just having salt as the addition. I like barbaric food. I do. I like simple barbaric food. From someone who eats so much garbage and so many different things, I eat so many unique, cool things. I'm so lucky. Sometimes just biting into a piece of meat that just has a little bit of salt in it is so rewarding and so comforting. It's incredible.
Red meat causes cancer. All right, on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
What
if you want to hear more from us in the Mythical Kitchen,
God.
We got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
God. If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizada with the hashtag #OpinionCasserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
See y'all next time. Remember, creatine, that's what I do to keep me healthy. Creatine.
Yeah, for sure.
A universally beloved substance that everyone agrees is good
for
you.
No, don't listen to him, kids.
It's his joke.